You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Goodyear, Arizona and Guardians Spring Training. Great to have you with us for Baseball Talk on the Radio. We will have baseball on the radio. If you're listening to this on Saturday, we'll have our next broadcast tomorrow when the Guardians take on the Cincinnati Reds right here in Goodyear. But coming up a little bit later on this week's show, we had a great chance to spend a fair amount of time with pitching coach Carl Willis earlier this week and talk to him not only about the pitching staff and how it's coming together this spring, but also his return to the dugout, as it was not a given that he would continue as Guardians pitching coach after the retirement of Terry Francona at the end of last season. But Carl, after it was all said and done, decided to return. He had that option, and certainly the Guardians glad to have him. So we'll hear from Carl in the second half of our show. Coming up a little bit later on in the first half of our show, we will replay an interview during our game broadcast on Thursday between Hammy and also General Manager Mike Chernoff, as the Guardians had a lot of news during the day on Thursday on the injury front. So we'll hear from Tom and Cherney on that in just a little bit. But first, we had a chance to visit with Miles Straw earlier this week. He's back in the lineup after a long battle with a virus that's been going around the ball club, and he had it probably worse than anybody. But he's back in there looking to pick things up offensively this season. It's been a couple of years where it's been a challenge offensively for Straw, who swung the bat really well when he was first acquired via trade from the Houston Astros a couple of years back. Just hasn't been able to duplicate that the past two seasons. So what did he do? He went to work this offseason to try and find it. A couple of different ways to do that. And when we talked to him, he filled us in on how he went about it to try and get better offensively this season.
Yeah, had my end of the year meeting with the front office and hitting coaches, and got early on with Val up in Columbus where he's from. So we got to go to Ohio State University to hit for a couple of days and just kind of come up with a plan for the off season, what I should work on and stuff to, just follow up throughout the whole off season. So Val did a really good job of putting me in a good place where I feel like, I made a pretty good adjustment, to look forward to the next season. And, sure enough, just kind of, still rolling with that same, adjustment and feeling good about it in spring.
So your off-season home is in Florida. Tell us about that visit, though. You and your family, you came up and spent some time at his house, Chris Valleca's house.
Yeah, no, it was awesome to go up there and just see his, he's got a young daughter now. Just to see their family was great. Got to hang out a little bit. It's always nice to spend time, with people who you're around all the time. So, it was nice to have that facility up there. It was freezing at the time, obviously. So we got to go inside the cages at Ohio State and kind of work a little bit. And, like I said, it's a good adjustment, I feel like, was made. And, looking forward to keep that going.
Spring training's it's a great time of year. Everyone gets together and you see teammates and things like that. You had to miss a little time because of an illness that's going through the clubhouse. What is that like when you're at spring training and they say, hey, you got to go home today?
Yeah, it's a pretty helpless feeling. I tried to look at it in a positive way to kind of rest my body for a few days, but you know, kind of with what I was dealing with wasn't really allowing me to feel like it was really resting. And it was pretty boring. I mean, you sit in an apartment for like 5, 6 or whatever amount of days, it gets old and you start walking around the neighborhood, which at the time I could barely even walk. So it's like, couldn't do really a whole lot. So I was pretty miserable at the time. So, you know, honestly, I feel like, you know, spring training can get kind of, you know, the days roll into another, you know, you feel fatigued and stuff. So I feel like just coming back from that just put me in a good spot mentally and physically. So, you know, obviously still kind of battling through some things on the body, but I like where I'm at right now. You know, I'm excited to be here every single day, and, you know, I'm out there running sprints, smiling and stuff, feels good to be back, and you don't realize how much you really miss the game until you're not around it for a few days.
And you're part of a core here that had some real good success in 2022, and there's still a lot of those players still here. What are you seeing that has you excited as you get deeper into spring training here for the season to come?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you said it. I mean, we got this, a lot of the boys coming back. We know, you know, we got the same mindset. We know how to play with each other. We know who does what well, and it's a great group here, man. I love everybody here, and I feel like everyone feels the same. So, I mean, it's just fun to show up to work every day with these guys and to compete, and that's all you can really ask for. I mean, there's not any problems in the clubhouse. So it's a very fun atmosphere, and it's somewhere you look forward to showing up every day.
That's Miles Straw, and you may be able to tell he's still kind of battling some stuff in terms of congestion, and that's what guys have had. They've had the funk, for lack of a better word, where there's some congestion there, just not feeling good. And Miles talked about you'd never want to be confined to your apartment in spring training when the weather's so good and everyone's feeling good and getting ready for the season, and you can't be out there doing the same thing. But it looks like he's just fine. He swung the bat really well this week in the couple of games he played toward the tail end of the week. So that's some good news there for a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from General Manager Mike Chernoff. Some tough news injury-wise this week, and he'll fill us in after this on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness. But money did buy your boat, where you find peace fishing, unlike at home with 3 teenage daughters. Because fish never argue about who stole whose crop top or get mad the other fish used up all the hot water. No, they just swim around, never embarrassed to be seen with you in public. So save money by bundling your boat or RV insurance with home or auto from Progressive. And buy more happiness or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Goodyear, Arizona and Guardians Spring Training. Thanks so much for tuning into our show this week. And a little bit earlier this week on Thursday, the Guardians took on the Colorado Rockies. That was a radio game for us. And during the third inning that day, Mike Chernoff joined Tom Hamilton. And they talked about a big news day, unfortunate news day in terms of injuries, but some other things too, as the roster continues to develop toward the tail end of spring training. So here's Tom and Mike Chernoff, the general manager for the Cleveland Guardians.
Cherney, we'll start off with a couple of easy ones.
Like who the first pick is going to be?
First pick in the
draft. You told me you're going to take me to this chair until I tell you that, right?
That and the opening day lineup. We'll go through the 26-man roster here with you.
Let's start with the easy questions, Abby.
Have you ever watched more college baseball outside of when you were playing?
I'm not sure I watched as much even when I played.
And I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. But it really is exciting to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, that was such an unexpected day when that happened during winter meetings. We were going crazy. And now it's the reality of it, of like, okay, yeah. We got to prepare for this. It's a great opportunity, but we want to make sure we try to get it right.
How big a deal is it to have the number one pick?
It's huge. I mean, there's two aspects of it. In baseball, it's not exactly like other sports. Getting the number one pick is hugely important, but it also increases the amount of pool space that you have to be able to potentially even maximize your pool and get more players.
Does that come into play, like, more so with having a second first-round pick, a comp pick?
I think that's exactly right. With the opportunity of having the first pick in the draft and that comp A pick, which I think is pick 37, you hope to be able to really get, you know, a couple of players and maybe even spread it out further into the draft to maximize what you get in all of the spots that you're picking in.
The draft isn't until – is it All-Star Week again?
Yes, okay. It's All-Star Week. It's the Sunday of the All-Star, you know, right before the All-Star break is the first day.
Would you like there to be a clear-cut, no doubt about it, number one pick, because in all likelihood we're talking a college kid this year, or would you like it to be those five guys we all talk about?
I think, look, it sort of makes your job easier when there's that clear-cut number one, that's it, only one guy, and he separates himself. But I don't know that that's better. I think having hard decisions is good, and you sort of want to have a lot of options, especially as the college season plays out or any high school players in the mix as it plays out. Somebody could get injured. Like, you want to have options, and I think this is a year where we feel like there actually are a number of guys that are factoring in that we feel really good about. Now, that makes our lives harder. It makes us feel the pressure and the anxiety of hoping to get it right. But like we saw last year, I think there could be a lot of players in this in the first few picks that are really good players.
We're joined by Mike Chernoff, general manager of the Cleveland Guardians. All right, we told the fans the bad news. We know with Trevor Stephan, Tommy John upcoming, reconstructive elbow surgery. Can a reliever make it back quicker than a starter with that surgery?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't change the time frame drastically. But with a reliever, you don't have to build the guy back up to five or six innings. Mm-hmm. So it changes it by at least about a month, right? Okay. It takes about a month to build a guy up from one or two innings up to the five or six innings. So on the back end of this, once he's in rehab games, that is a shorter recovery time for him.
But Daniel Espino, as crushing as it was for him, it had to be for you guys.
Oh, it was awful just with everything he's been through. I mean, this is going to be at least another year of rehab for him, and you couldn't find a better kid. No. I mean, from the day we drafted him, he had a maturity beyond his years, and he's the guy you pull for, not just because of the talent on the field, but because of everything that he is as a person. So this was really hard for all of us, and obviously especially for him. We just want to find ways to support him through this and hope he comes out the other side of this.
Are you worried his career is in jeopardy?
I mean, really any surgery, of course, and now a second surgery, yeah, you have to think about that. But we're going to do absolutely everything in our power to help him get back on the field and tap into that talent that he has. And I know he'll do the same.
I mean, what's stunning is he hadn't even thrown a baseball since the last surgery.
Right. Well, he had started to throw a little bit.
He was doing
light throwing, but it wasn't like an acute thing that he felt on a throw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's a really unfortunate thing. We knew the first surgery was a complicated surgery, and so it had some chance of this happening, but it is. It's really unfortunate.
Based on the news with those guys and Garrett Cole, what's your level of concern with Gavin Williams?
Well, Gavin, thankfully, when we had the imaging done, structurally everything looks good.
Okay.
So this we're thinking is just a short-term thing. Again, you have to build these guys up. And in Gavin's case, he hadn't gotten up to the four or five innings that, you know, you want to get a guy up to. So it's going to slow him down some. He's got to get through this. We have to have this calm down in the back of his elbow. And then at that point, we'll start the buildup again. So it does add a little bit of time. But from a level of concern, it's not the same type of concerns as when you see something structurally on the MRIs.
But he won't be there opening day.
I doubt that would be a possibility at this point.
We are joined by General Manager Mike Chernoff here in the bottom of the third from Goodyear. Cherny, we know there are multiple people in the hunt yet for the shortstop spot. But is it safe to say it comes down to Arias and Rocchio, or am I making too big of an assumption?
Nothing is safe to say. I mean, we have to see how things go. I think we have a lot of players that we're excited about to play the middle of the infield. You're seeing the majority of playing time right now go to Rocchio and Arias. Those are the guys who've had the most time in AAA or the big leagues that we feel are really truly in contention for that spot. But I think whether it's opening day or at other times in the year, we certainly can reevaluate and consider some of the other players who have made a great impression here so far.
Well, like, for instance, we talked about it before you came in. I mean, Esteban Florial, two more strikeouts. He's not had a good spring as far as the numbers, but you're looking beyond that.
I mean, Hammy, you probably remember last year Mike Capriese, the spring that he had, right? And that's a wonderful thing. You want a guy to have a great spring and not have a really poor spring. It looks to me like Florial's just pressing. I mean, this is a hard situation to come in the offseason. He's coming in from the Yankees, where I think he felt all the pressure in the world there, and I think he was hoping for a fresh start. I mean, he had no future outlook there because of the guys they had in their outfield. This was a fresh start for him, and I think he wanted to make a good impression so badly. He's such a great guy. I'm sure you've had time with him. He is a wonderful kid, and I think he just so badly wanted to make a good impression that you see him pressing up there. I don't think this is who he is as a player. So we have to figure out, okay, how do we assess that and figure out, you know, what this could look like in season potentially.
Do you look at Rocchio and Arias under the same scope? Do you think they're pressing?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you could see it right when they came in. They also felt like it was a great opportunity, but I think they felt a lot of pressure. And they're so young, they haven't been through this before. So there's no doubt that I think all these guys that feel like they're in competition have some of that going on. That doesn't mean that we don't want to see them handle that. I mean, they have to handle adversity as big leaguers. But we also have to just keep that in the back of our mind as we're looking at 20 or 30 spring training plate appearances, and that we're evaluating underneath the hood a little bit more at the process of how they're going about their work and how their swing looks and all of that.
Would you, and again, I'm assuming, but you don't want all these guys up here sitting. I'm assuming one of them wins the shortstop job and the other guys have to go and play every day, right?
Are these the sneaky kind of questions that you asked Foreman when he was on the other day?
Well, you know what? Brody was busy, your oldest son, and Sarah has banned me from talking to him.
You got that. That's exactly right. Well, you're hitting on an important point. I mean, there's a couple factors. One, you're right. We don't want some of our top guys sitting, right? You want those guys playing every day and continuing to get better. These are young players that have to improve. You also, you know, I think with any young player, you want to make sure that you help them not just focus on opening day. The pressure isn't just to make the opening day roster and that's it. You're seeing it with our pitching. Yeah. We're going to need to tap into our depth. And so you want players to be ready for it whenever that everyday opportunity comes up, to be ready for it. And often that means going back to AAA and playing every day so that you are prepared.
All right, the last easy question. When will Chase DeLauder be here?
This is breaking up a little bit.
How? I mean, you and I were talking off the off mic before we went on the air and talked to Chris about it this morning. You ever remember a younger player with so little experience still here this deep into camp?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a delight for us to watch. I think he's got about 350 plate appearances in the minor leagues. Right. You have to remember that, and he's got a lot of things that he just hasn't experienced yet. And so you want a player to experience those things, usually at the minor league level first, and figure out how to get through it. But at the same time, you don't set timetables on guys. I mean, he's been so impressive offensively, defensively, on the bases. We're really excited about his future.
Well, Cherney, we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and continued success. This is going to be fun.
Thanks, Amy. We're excited for it.
Well, a lot of good stuff there from Cherney regarding the roster, injury issues, how they're trying to get to a certain place with certain positions. A lot going on here, and there is not much time left in spring training. We're under 2 weeks to go now until opening day in Oakland on March the 28th. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from pitching coach Carl Willis. That's next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Don't go away, folks.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Goodyear, Arizona and Guardians Spring Training. As we get deeper into it, less than 2 weeks to go now until opening night in Oakland. And the Guardians will break camp a week from Tuesday, so we are not that far away. They'll wrap up with a couple of games down at Chase Field and then jet off to the San Francisco area where they stay when they play the Oakland Athletics, and that's where they open the season with four against Oakland. Carl Willis is back for another season as the Guardians pitching coach, and that was not a given with the retirement of Terry Francona at the end of last season. But certainly Cleveland happy to have him back. He's one of the best in the game at what he does. He has overseen four different Cy Young Award winners. And who knows, maybe there's another one in the mix on this year's staff for the Cleveland Guardians. When we caught up with Carl earlier this week for a wide-ranging interview about the current staff and also where he's at in terms of his career, he talked about his reasoning for coming back and some of the things that factored into that decision.
Well, Rosie, you know, first and foremost, just, you know, at stage of life, I'm 63 years old. That's not old by any means, but I've been around the game for 41 years now, and obviously spent a lot of time away from my family, my kids, now my grandkids. Still am blessed to have my mother. So, you know, those factors, the family factor weighs in. But certainly it also weighs in that I still have a passion for this game. I have a big passion for our pitchers, you know, and I won't name them all, but, you know, Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, Carlos Carrasco being back in camp, but also the young three that we saw a glimpse of last year, you know, that's very exciting and they're exciting to work with. And quite frankly, a passion for the Cleveland Guardians. You know, this organization has been so very, very good to me and my family. And, you know, when they asked me if I'd like to come back, if I was open to coming back, you know, that's actually a big honor for me. I mean, I appreciated that. And that's when I really had to seriously consider, you know, what was best for, you know, mainly my family right now. And if they could handle it, then I wanted to not fulfill the obligation, but I guess fulfill the request. And, you know, I'm just honored they feel that way about me.
And you're working under a new manager for the first time in a long time. How do you bridge that gap relationship-wise with Stephen Vogt? And I know it's still early yet. The games are underway, but how much goes into that to make sure that you guys can hit the ground running when the regular season begins?
Well, you know, we're trying to spend as much time as we can together on the field, at the field. It's difficult because, you know, he is not only building new relationships, you know, with a staff and an organization, but he's in a position he hasn't been in before. So, you know, there's an awful lot on his plate, and as much time as I would like to, you know, be the only one sitting talking with him, that's just not possible. But I think that, you know, so far our time together has been good. You know, it's somewhat challenging, or it's just different. Spring training, you know, the games, the outcome of the game. Certainly, you know, it's important to shake hands to win games, but getting the guys ready that you're counting on is more important. So at the end of the day, the outcome of the game isn't really the most important thing. And I feel like, you know, we're not going to learn how each other operates when it matters until it really matters. And I'm looking forward to that. But I feel like, you know, he's a guy that's 2 years removed from playing, so he's going to definitely be able to relate to the players, understand what makes those guys tick. And, you know, he was a catcher, so he understands the pitching aspects of the game, and he's been exposed to a lot of the analytical side of the game that I feel like myself, he knows how to use and he knows how to push aside when maybe it's not pertinent to the moment. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I think it's off to a good start.
So along those lines, in terms of what you bring to this organization and have for a long time,
The game's changing. There's so much now, and the Guardians are at the forefront. It's part of what has made them such a good pitching organization, that blend of technology and analytics. And how have you been able to bring what you're so good at, those relationships and things that you grew up with, and blend all that together? Because it seems like you've done that, at least from the outside.
Well, I think, being open-minded and open to change, it's not to say that it's not difficult at times. It's not to say it's not very frustrating at times. But I think the most important aspect is, again, to be open-minded and to give it its due respect. And so when you do have things that are important, and it's not that it's all not important, but when things specifically matter right now and can make a difference, I think it's how to communicate those things. And the timing, your timing of communication, and then your language. And, certainly having been out there on the mound competing, even though it was a long time ago, I know all the things that go through a pitcher's mind. And so it's just, again, I think communication and the timeliness of that communication, to communicate, whether it be analytics or something old school, that's most important.
All right, let's get to the good stuff with Carl Willis in terms of the pitchers at hand as we get in deeper into March. Carl, you look at the starting rotation and the potential is there for it to be extremely good. With the five pitchers that look like they're going to be in there, right at the top, Shane Bieber looks phenomenal. What's he done in the offseason to get so much better?
Well, first and foremost, he ended the season healthy. And I think he, in his mind, he knew he was healthy. He was pain-free. And two off seasons ago, it was kind of a rehab type of an off season that took a lot out of him. And then the next off season, he tried to treat it normal and give his body a bit of a break from all the work he'd done the previous 18 months. But this season, getting to the end, feeling healthy, not having a big workload, he was really able to focus solely on, what he wanted to accomplish. And quite frankly, that was to see if there was anything, whether it be delivery-wise or if he could just get back into the mindset to possibly pick up a couple miles an hour again. So he took the opportunity, went to Driveline out here in Arizona, and in that focus, he was able to accomplish that goal. And we've seen more velo, we've seen a little better life to the fastball, and it's brought some power back to the curveball, which if you go back to 2020, which it's hard to believe that's 4 years ago, but that was his pitch, and there was a lot of power to it, and he had lost some of that power. So I think we're going to see a version of Shane Bieber that is much closer to what we saw in 20 and 21.
The three kids, and let's lump them all together. I know you can't really do that, but what are you keeping an eye on this spring as you get them prepared for what hopefully is a first full season for them in the big leagues?
Well, the first thing we're keeping an eye on, particularly with Gavin and Tanner. So these two guys they haven't been to Major League spring training before. So we're kind of trying to protect them from themselves a little bit. We had them pitching simulated games prior to getting into Major League games. We did that actually with all five of our starters, but there were different reasons behind Shane and Tristan. But to just each time out, take one step forward and not try to take two. And, those guys are still young in their careers and they've already proven they're winners at the major league level. But again, it kind of goes back to that understanding of, the outcomes of your outings in spring training are less important than the process and what you did on the mound that day. And are you building towards being that complete package that you can be or close to it by opening day? Sometimes that means going out and pitching a game and really focusing on one particular pitch. When you do that, that pitch gets better. But if you're only throwing that one pitch, it probably gets hit a little more often. So the outcome's not great, yet your process is good because you improve the pitch. And when the season starts, you're going to mix it with your others. So really trying to manage, I guess, their intensity, their effort, get them built up, and try to balance not getting complacent, because all three of them had success during their rookie seasons last year. The game doesn't get any easier just because you've arrived and had some success. Matter of fact, it gets much more difficult because, you know, the opposition starts to study a little harder now. So the biggest thing is to prepare them, to keep them on a good path, and knock on wood, but to keep them healthy.
You mentioned a name earlier, Carlos Carrasco, back in camp, first time in a while with the Guardians. What's his path to make this team? How do you see this working out for him if he's to make this team and help?
Well, you know, Carlos has some versatility. I'm sure most folks in Cleveland remember several years ago when, you know, he went out to the bullpen and pitched out of the bullpen, and he kind of found himself there and transitioned back into a starter role. So I think, number one, having that versatility to not just be locked into a starting position, but he could potentially help our bullpen, which you know, right now is a little bit up in the air in terms of, you know, filling out eight guys in that bullpen. But certainly, you know, seeing what kind of power is left in his arsenal, he knows how to pitch, he knows how to shape the baseball. So, you know, getting back to some basics of his delivery that, you know, we're very familiar with due to his time here. And just to go out and compete and see, again, how he's able to recover, you know, whether it be every fifth day or every third day, if it's a bullpen or something like that. And just let him go out and compete. If he can do the things he can do, he's going to force us to make a decision because, you know, we could very well be a better club and a better pitching staff with him on it.
Bullpen, you mentioned some things up in the air, but let's at least touch on the back end. Emmanuel Clase, tremendous two seasons, a lot of work in there. What are you seeing so far this spring from him, and what do you try and keep an eye on for him to make sure that he can give you as many outings as he needs to?
Well, you know, we're very pleased with Emmanuel and how he came into spring training. You know, I think in 2022, having kind of a breakout season, got a lot of accolades in the off season. You know, came to spring training last year in a good place, but maybe not in the best place he could be in. I think he'd tell you that. You know, what we're seeing right now in early March, he's where he was last year in the latter part of March. I mean, he came in that far ahead, and it's obvious that he did his work in the off season. We're seeing velocities in spring training right now, 97, 98, where last year we're seeing 93, 94. We're seeing the depth of the slider. You know, saw a fundamental play yesterday where he was standing at first base waiting for the relay throw on the back end of a double play. So it tells you that he's mentally locked in. So I think that, you know, while he saved 45 games last year, we saw a bump up in his ERA. We saw, you know, a few blown saves that obviously everybody has well documented. But I think that, you know, he's challenged himself to go out and be the best he can be this year and continue to be one of the best closers in the game, if not the best.
All right, we'll close with this, with Carl Willis. You made a million mound visits in your pitching coach career. Obviously, some are different than others. The funny ones, what's going on out there on the mound when you have to go out to the mound, and maybe on your way back we see the pitcher snickering or the catcher or even yourself?
Well, you know, sometimes you just need to break the tension. I mean, everyone knows the situation. Everyone knows what's, you know, on the line. I, you know, one of the funnier ones, actually happened in Cleveland. I can't recall the year. It may have been 2005 or 6. I'm going back a ways now. It may have been 9. We had Masa Kobayashi, and we had an interpreter, and I asked him for a interpretation. It was a word. I wanted to know how to say something in Japanese, and so he told me, and I ran to the mound repeating it over and over and over so I wouldn't forget how to say it. And when I got out there, and when I said it, Masa's eyes got wide open, and he looked at me, and he kind of smiled. And Tim Laker was the catcher, and he's like, "Carl, I didn't know you spoke Japanese." And so I just repeated the phrase. And so then he repeated the phrase, and then Kobayashi repeated the phrase. And so we were all standing out there kind of chuckling. And the home plate umpire came out, and he goes, "Carl, what's going on out here?" And I said, "Oh, we're just talking about," and, you know, whatever the phrase was, I don't know. And he goes, "Oh," and then he said it. And so we all just stood there laughing, and then we came back into the dugout, or I came back into the dugout. And I can tell you that I remember Derek Jeter was the hitter, and I believe the bases were loaded, and he hit a line drive. It was a missile right at the second baseman that we turned a double play on. And Laker came in the dugout, and he yells out whatever the word was in Japanese, and I yelled it back at him. And the next thing you know, everybody at the dugout's yelling, and Kobayashi's laughing. And it made for a good story. You know, it's something that, you know, I've never forgotten. And a couple of guys, you know, have heard the story and will bring it up on occasion. But, you know, sometimes you have to lighten the moment. But, again, it goes back to communication hey, sometimes they may snicker when I leave because they think I'm full of it. You know, I don't know. But I think you don't really like going out there, you know. So, but you have to try, you have to at times, and you have to make the best of it.
That's Guardians pitching coach Carl Willis. Always a wealth of information and an enjoyable interview every time. And we certainly thank him for his time on this week's show. Stay with us. We'll have some final thoughts after this timeout on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Not to brag, but Progressive's Name Your Price tool is mankind's greatest tool ever. Even better than the wheel. Sure, without the wheel, we wouldn't have modern transportation or funny videos of dogs riding skateboards. But without the Name Your Price tool, we wouldn't have easy access to auto insurance options based on our budget. And, well, cars do need wheels. They also need insurance, and insurance never goes flat. Learn more about the greatest tool ever, the Name Your Price tool, at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly, our final segment. Jim Rosenhaus back with you for just a couple of moments now to wrap up our show. Just a reminder, you can listen to our show each week on participating Cleveland Guardians Radio Network stations, including our flagship WTAM in Cleveland, and a new time for the show each week. It will air every Saturday now at 7 a.m. So you can have breakfast with Guardians Weekly and catch up on the week gone by. And that will start with next week's show. So make a note of that. If you do enjoy listening to it live on the radio, it will be on WTAM each week at 7 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And if you don't happen to get up that early on a Saturday, but still like to enjoy the show, it is available in podcast form. And maybe by later Saturday, but certainly by Sunday. And you can listen to it whenever you like in podcast form, wherever you download your favorite podcast. So we'll do that starting with next week's show. Until then, I want to thank Brian Motze, as always, for all of his help in putting together our shows each week. Until next week, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.